Things are going good for you. You're walking around that outside. You're enjoying God's all of His beauty, the glorious day that He's given us. And then He is able, I feel, to further open our eyes by allowing us to see what we have. Now, what is church? Church. Are we playing and doing and singing over here and all like that? Let's all sing together. Church is where we whistle together. That's what church is. At least nobody here will laugh at you when you're embarrassed. That's the good thing about it. You know, Rich, I tell you that story you're telling, it just touched me because I have been in that situation so many times in my life. Yes, I'm appreciative for the things that God has done for me. I'm appreciative of the way that He has simply answered prayers in so many aspects of my life. But then occasionally, He really just, I think, opens your eyes just a little wider. He allows your hearing to come just a little more clear. And hopefully, He allows your heart to become just a little warmer, those who are around us. And it ties in so beautifully with what I'm going to read for you this morning. I'm reading from the book of Galatians in the 6th chapter. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. The second verse, I love this second verse. Bear one another's burdens. We are told to bear each other's burdens, and in doing so, fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. And you've heard this so many times in the 7th verse. For whatsoever a man soweth, what's the answer? That shall he also reap. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And this little half phrase on the end of the 10th verse here, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Heavenly Father, add a blessing, special blessing unto the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people, amen. Amen. There's a lot in these verses. These verses, you've heard them many times. There's so many things. In the second verse, bear one another's burdens. In that third verse over there, that he talks about how we, when we think too much of ourselves, we simply deceive ourselves. In the 7th verse, we're reading that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It also says down here in the 9th verse, be not weary in doing well. Keep on keeping on. I like that. Years ago, we said, just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. I can remember back in the days of 70, having a little thing where you just held on like this. You know, the claws up there, just hold on, just hold on. But then he kind of gives a little different spin to it here in the 10th verse. Let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I totally believe that God watches over His children. I believe that. I believe that He is concerned about each and every one of us. He is concerned about our comings, our goings. He's concerned about the total of the bill on our car repair. Amen, Joe and Dee? Amen. He's concerned about everything that we do within our lives, because we are His kids. And you do that same thing for your own kids, don't you? Yesterday, I was thrilled about the middle part of the day. Johnny, you need some water here. Rich, you're gonna. Oh, you got some there? Candy or water? She. Oh, you got some. Okay, hello. Yesterday, I was thrilled. I was out in next to Wolf Trap. There's a place called the Meadowlark Botanical Gardens. Has anybody other than me ever been there? Wave at me. Ever been there? That is a beautiful place that I had no idea. I walked into this thing. It was gorgeous. I mean, and it's a big place. They got all kind of stuff, though. Every kind of plant you'd want to know. They got all this wildlife. They had butterflies everywhere. They had geese. They had the pond where they had the wedding out in the gazebo, and the gazebo was stretched out in the middle of this lake, and it's beautiful, and all the fish were around, and I thought they were goldfish. Somebody said, no, they're a koi. I said, okay, I'll call them koi. So I learned the name of the fish over there. I thought they're carp or something like that. And I got to perform the wedding over there, and it's a wonderful couple. And I told them, I said, my friend George, he's a good fellow. I told him, I said, you know, a man is not complete until he's married, then he's finished. And he looked at me like that. I said, oh, George, I'm just kidding with you like that. And these are second marriages, and they have four children between the two of them. And they were all concerned about, well, now we're not sure, not some of the kids aren't too happy about what's going on. Something, you know, I'm talking about real life here, folks. We're talking about real life. We're real life. Not everybody wears a wedding dress to church. We're talking about real life over here. I had to work that one in there. That was just... I think you look beautiful today. Give her a round of applause. I think she looks absolutely gorgeous. And they were kind of worried. They weren't so worried for themselves. They were worried about the impact on the children. Okay? And so as we got into the service, and the bride, she had written out such wonderful verses and things to read, and I did a whole bunch of that, and then I just kind of did my own thing. You know how that happens, you know, because once it starts, it's too bad. It's too bad. We're here in the middle of it now, and I'm going to say what I want to say. So this is what you bought. I'm not charging you anything for this wedding, and I'm worth every penny of it. So I said, I tell you what we're going to do. We had the part where we challenged the groom to, you take this woman, I do. We said to her, do you take this man, I do. And I said, well, I want to do a little something different. So we called all four children up. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a charge unto you. Do you pledge that you will be supportive and loving in your brand new family? And each one of them stood just as tall as they could. I do. I do. I do. I do. That to me was the part of the service that I enjoyed the most. It is how you treat your family. When you walk into Mount Calvary, hopefully you feel like you are part of the family. That doesn't make it all right. That doesn't make that we're not going to step on your toes. Yes, we are going to get crossways of you. We're going to have a little fun with you. Most of the time I know when you meet somebody and they just kind of, You know? Usually it's not you that they're erring about. It's something that's gone on in their life or in their day. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Now you can react by going, Is that how you do it?
That's right. That's right.
You can growl right back. You let those things come out. You can get just as mad as you. You can just take it and make it as bad as it can be. Or you can think about the love of Christ and about how God in His Word encourages us to love even more deeply and closely the brothers and sisters in His house. I believe that. We have that responsibility to bear one another's burdens. Don't cause the burden. We have the responsibility to help them out when they're going through a difficult time, a difficult situation. When you get here to the sixth chapter and you start reading these things, and there's just so much in here, there's so much meat in this part, you just read it and just, wow, wow. The words, when you read them and you start to meditate upon God's Word, it just gets down in your heart, into your soul. But then you've also got to ask yourself, well, how did that writer get here? So I back up one chapter. I go to the 15th chapter. I read down to the 13th verse. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all of the law, the 14th verse in the 5th chapter, the book of Galatians, I believe it is so strong. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's simple. What is the gospel? The gospel is number one, loving the Lord thy God with all that I have. My mind, my heart, my soul, my voice, my pocketbook, my feet. Amen. Amen. And then to love my neighbor as myself. And in doing so, as I read down to the 22nd verse of that 5th chapter, this is kind of the preview that gets us to this 6th chapter and all these good things. But the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. Is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is long-suffering. It is gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of God's Spirit living within our lives. You got to have that. And it begins with a broken spirit and a broken heart. Able to realize when those around us are simply hurting, being kind of tuned into it, getting on that proper wavelength, so that we won't answer a word of wrath with a word of wrath, but with kindness, meekness, temperance, long suffering. This long suffering is not just to the married couples. Long suffering means to all of us. You didn't get that, did you?
I did.
Okay. At the end of the service yesterday, the children, believe it or not, actually spoke to me. And they said, "We did not know that you were going to call on us." I said, "Well, are you glad that I did?" And they said, "Yes, sir. We are glad that you did. Because I don't think we've seen a mom smile any brighter. I don't always think we've seen old George look any prouder than of his own children. When they are simply able to be thankful for what the parent has done for them. I know a lot of times I come in and I share things about my parents. And why? Because they are absolutely so precious to me. Oh, they're different. They are characters with a capital C. Or K if you're from West Virginia. Either doesn't. You're ready today, I can tell over there. And when you see them, and you see them at the stage of life where they are at, where, oh, boy, those stories get repeated to me over and over again, and we have the same conversations over and over again, and I just absolutely love each and every one of those same conversations. I can almost write them down word for word, and I just look so forward to them. I'm appreciative about how in my life I was giving strength and support. But as dear sister Evelyn, she cautioned me so many times. She says, but Charlie, you must remember, there's an awful lot of households that weren't like that. There's an awful lot of households where a father was not a true father. Where a mother did not show the love and compassion and care for her children that she should have. She says, always be thoughtful and think so, just caring for those children that have been in that situation. And when you're thinking about them, and when you're talking to them, and when you're praying for them, make sure, to the best of your abilities, that you portray the Heavenly Father who loves in a perfect way. Never lets us down. Never turns his back on us. Never allows the emotions of the day to kind of step in front, but is always there in a warm, kind, meek manner to place his arms of love around each and every one of his children. We're a family here at Mount Calvary. God loves each and every one of us. And I caution people. I was talking with somebody this week and they said, you know, the thing that I like about Mount Calvary is it's just not a whole bunch of talk behind anybody's back and all that. I said, that's good. Because if I have something to say, I'll say it right here. I'll say it from the pulpit. It don't matter to me. That's just the way I am. Sometimes you need a little fun poked at you. Sometimes you need to joke about it. Sometimes we need to cry about it. But I caution you. I do never want to be in the position to answer to my God of starting up anything that's just not quite right. Because it says, just right here in the black and white, let us do good unto them, all men, but let us do good unto them who are the household of faith. A lot of God's challenge to us is how we're going to deal with the folks we see here in church. You're going to be warm, you're going to be compassionate, you're going to be caring. Are you going to judge what you see on the outside? No. And I believe that's a thing that I think God has allowed himself to flow within this congregation, within this house, because he allows us to see each other. So inspired. Rich, your story touched me this morning about a girl that you don't know who is going through such pain and suffering on the phone. But I can also tell you folks that there are folks that walk in this congregation every Sunday, and there's a whole lot of things going on in their lives too. There's pain and suffering. There is questions. We all are different. And I believe as God wants us so much to gather together in his name, he wants us to do that with the type of compassion one for another that will just make a change. Give you something to latch on to. Something to stand tall about. Put a smile in your heart. I believe it. Now, I think I've preached enough. If Bob Mumford here, he'd stand up and say, amen, brother. And that's true. I don't know. Rich, you kind of caught me off guard there. Not that a lot of times the things that you say are just, they're from the heart. And the prayers are so genuine and true. But for some reason, that little story that you told this morning, it just kind of hit me. Don't do that. I have to preach after you pray. Remember that. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of difficult. Your mind's going one way, your heart's going another way, and you just, God says, nope, boy, we got to talk about the family. We got to talk about those four children yesterday that stood up and say, I do. We have to every now and then around Mount Calvary just say, you know, we just love each other. We don't know why. When you looked at us on the outside, we were all down here at the mall or something walking by. I said, woo, look at that crew. That is a rough looking crew. Then you put us in God's house. Oh, you start to sing the songs about the Master. You start to lift up one another's burdens in prayer. I've never felt so much love in my life than I have right here in the sanctuary. So I'm going to pray. We ask that God will be with you this week. We ask that you just take some of the things that you feel here. What is the key to church? The key to our services on Sunday morning, I'll tell you exactly what the key is. They start right here in this room. Because they had a good class this morning. Amen, ladies? Amen. They start on Wednesday night when we open up God's Word and we just answer simple questions and we turn to the Word and we read the Word and we ask God to take the truth that we find in the Word and place it deep within my heart. That's where the church service starts. Then when we come in on Sunday morning, it's like, hello, folks. I missed you. Good to see you. Give me a hug. Tell me what's going on in your life. That's what it's about. And we thank God for it. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that you will simply bless us as your children, God. God, we as that those youngsters did yesterday, God, when they were asked that question, are you willing to give yourself in love, in support of this family? Each one of those children said, I do. God, let us do the same thing. Let us just, when we're questioned within our hearts, within our minds, let us be willing to place our brothers and sisters in Christ that you've given us as friends, as fellow members, as just the good folks of God that we are, God. Let us say, in support of each other. God, give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this place. Let us take the love that you place within our hearts with us, and we will do our best to serve you.